Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. 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 You know, the last five books of, the last five chapters of Psalms are the Hallelujah Psalms. I've been trying to read through that this week, but Brother Swaggart says it corresponds with the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. But we are to praise the Lord. Amen. We are to praise the Lord on the music, praise Him on the drums, praise Him when the high sounding cymbals, the low sounding cymbals on the stringed instruments, we are to praise the Lord. Amen. And you know, if you don't have the Holy Spirit this morning, amen. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you know, churches these days, most don't preach about sin. I know, I've been in them. Don't talk about sin at all. So you just have people that are just sinning, sinners in church. You have other churches that do preach against sin, and it gets into a lot of legalism and things like that. But we here have the Holy Spirit, amen, and that's the difference, amen. If you have the Holy Spirit, you can preach about sin, you can be free from sin, you can have victory over sin, you can have victory over the world, the flesh, the devil, but you gotta have the Holy Spirit, amen. We were driving around yesterday and doing some sports and things, and the church sign said, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. And I think about that song we used to sing as a kid. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. I'm not going to sing it, but He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. Within my heart. And that's how you know He lives, amen. Whether you feel good or bad or whatever, amen. Jesus lives inside of you. If you're saved, He lives inside of you. You may have had a bad week. You may have forgot to read your Bible this morning or something. Or you may have yelled at your kids or your wife or your dog or whatever. But if you're saved, Jesus lives inside of you, amen. The Holy Spirit is inside of you, because He lives, we can live again, amen. We will live again in the new life. And I'll say this and be quiet, but you know, the Bible talks about the last enemy. What the last enemy the Bible talks about is death. And we don't have victory over death yet, but Jesus does, amen. Jesus rose again. He has victory over death, hell, and the grave, and we will too, and that will be the last enemy defeated is death. There's death all in this world, in animals and humans and plant life and vegetation, and everything dies. But soon and very soon, it's not going to die. Amen. We're going to have a new body. The corruptible shall put on incorruptibility. The mortal shall put on immortality. We shall live forever. Amen. We shall live forever. And the sad part is, you're going to live forever somewhere. So are you going to live forever in heaven? Or are you going to live forever in hell? We'll live forever. Let's be in heaven, amen. Let's preach about heaven. Let's talk about heaven. Let's witness to other people to get them to heaven, amen, and escape hell. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You this Sunday morning, God, right here in Family Worship Center, Athens, Tennessee. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the people gathered here together today. Lord Jesus, we pray a special blessing and anointing on each and every person here this morning. God, we pray that You anoint the music, You anoint the singing, Lord Jesus, because without the Holy Spirit, God, we really don't have anything, Lord Jesus. We go into license to sin, or we go into legalism, Lord Jesus, but if we have the Holy Spirit, we have life, Lord God. You sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will be in us, and if we're saved, He is in us and gives us victory and gives us shout and gives us praise and gives us a victory over death, hell, and the grave. He gives us everything that we need. Amen. He can do anything. He can deliver you, me, and everybody here this morning, Lord Jesus. We pray, God, that someone will get saved, someone will get filled with the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Lord God, we pray that as this service goes out through the Facebook, through the internet, through online, Lord Jesus, that people will be touched, people will be healed, people will be delivered, Lord Jesus. Homosexuals will get saved, drunkards will get saved, drug addicts will get saved. Homeless people will be given a new life, Lord Jesus. They'll be given a place to live. They'll be given a job. They'll be given a home, Lord Jesus. We thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives and in this church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Living inside, I've got the Word of God. when they sang that part of that song, I can't help but think about that man that was possessed with all those devils, who the Bible says was suicidal. He was out of his mind. He was isolated from society, living in a graveyard. Nobody could do anything with him. No man could tame him. But when Jesus showed up and got a hold of him, my Lord, if he were here this morning, I believe he'd probably, when that song was singing, I believe he'd be jumping up and down. I'd say he'd probably, he might even be running around this sanctuary. He might even run out the door. He that the Son has set free is, I remember standing on the auction block of sin. The old devil had me bound, but Jesus came and he set me free. Amen. If you've been set free this morning, you ought to be happy. If you've been set free, if you've been set free from sin, you ought to be saying praise the Lord. If you ain't a slave to the devil anymore, you ought to be saying praise God. I mean, you ought to just learn how to let your hands go and just say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Hey, amen. The Bible said when Jesus got finished with him, he latched hold of Jesus and said, I'm going where I'm, let me go where you go. Oh, please, I want to be with you. Jesus said, no. Just go on back to your family and let them see a testimony. Go on back and tell them what the Lord has done for you. We got something to tell the world, church. You got something to, do you have something to tell your family? Do they see a change or they just see the same old, same old? Is it religion as usual? No, I'm sick of religion as usual. I'm sick of church as usual. I'm sick of the same old, same old. I want to see God move. I want to see God's people touched. I want to see when we come in here, we turn loose and let go and let the Holy Ghost have his way. I want to see the Lord do something in us. Amen. He wants to. He saved us. He set us free. And you got, if you hadn't had anything else done, you've had that done. If you don't have a big fat bank account, you got a big fat inheritance waiting in heaven of eternal life when you step over to the other side. Amen. And you see face to face the end of your salvation, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to take up the offering this morning and say thank you to everybody that's helping us to do what God has called us to do. And I pray that God will bless you, keep blessing you. I don't keep up with what people in this church give. I don't do that from time to time. You know, I take the money out of the box, give it to her, put it in the bag. But I don't keep up with it. I just trust that you're faithful. I just trust that if you hear the truth of God's word and you believe it, there's no way you can come to church and not give. No way. You can't. When the Holy Ghost gets to moving in your heart, like Adam said, the Spirit of God, that's what makes the difference. The Spirit of the Lord will stir you. The Spirit of the Lord will move you. The Spirit of the Lord will encourage you. You give. No matter, maybe your check wasn't as fat this week. You still give. You still give. Amen? You give and you watch God meet all of your needs. He's never failed us yet. Amen? I've given every dollar or dime I've ever made that I can think of. I've always given some to the Lord. And he's always met every need that we have. And I know that he's going to. You watching, you need to put God to the test. And you watch and see if he won't meet your need. Amen. The government is not your supply. Your boss and your job, they're not your supply. You might think they are, but they're really not. He's the one. He's the one that gives us the power to get wealth, the scripture says. He's the one that's giving you the ability to have that job, giving you the ability to do that job. So the income supports you. He gave it to you. Remember that the next time you want to fuss and complain about your job, he gave it to you. And maybe he's got you there because there's some heathen that need to see some light. I mean, we live in a dark world. It's only getting darker. Things going on in this world, prophecy is being fulfilled. We see there's tension in this world. People are scared half to death. I ain't scared. I'm listening and I'm waiting for the sound of the trump of God. And when it sounds, I'm leaving out of here whether people want me to or not. Whether the devil likes it or not, these feet are leaving the ground. Amen. like Adam said, this corruptible is going to put on incorruption. Praise God. Let them fight over our stuff. Let the world have it. Let the government have it. They can shoot each other over a few cans of beans or a car or whatever. But praise God, we're going to be living in a mansion in heaven, walking on streets of gold. Amen. Going to have your own mansion. You ain't going to live all by yourself. Ain't that something? Going to get to live all by ourselves, Miss Grace. You and Lisa won't be living together anymore. We won't be living together, praise God. We're going to have our own mansion because the scripture says he's going to prepare a place for every one of us. And it's big enough to house all of us. Amen. Praise God. I like that old song, I got a mansion just over the hilltop. Amen. We do. I'm not concerned about the mansion. I just know that it's going to be there waiting on me. Jesus is going to be the reason for everything. Let's take up the offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to have your way this morning in this church. We ask you that you would touch people today. We ask that you would move. I ask that you would bless the givers today. Lord, you know what we need, and you know how to do the things that need to be done for us and in us. I pray for people that are watching today, whoever they are, wherever they are, that you would touch them. If there are people that are lost, I pray you would save them. If there are Christians that are struggling, I pray that you give them victory. I pray, Lord, that you just move in a mighty way through the service, that Jesus Christ be high and lifted up. As the people come to give, whatever their spiritual needs are, the physical needs, touch them, God, and meet every need they have in Jesus' name.
Sing hallelujah to Have you got any mountains?
He knows how to divide the waters. Amen. When you got a roadblock in front of you, got this problem, got that problem, don't know how you're going to pay this bill, how you're going to do this or that, let him open the way. Amen. Sometimes he'll wait till the last minute. Most of the time, that's how I've always usually seen him work. Sometimes he shows up much beforehand, but sometimes, a lot of times, he waits till the... Why? Because so he can stretch you a little bit more, to build your faith, to get you a little bit stronger, because you ain't where you think you are. You need to be stretched a little bit. Don't have as much faith as we think we have. And so he has to put us in tight situations at times where he shows up at the last minute and makes a way and says, look, now you see what I can do? Now you trust me. And you let this be a faith builder. Don't you let this be a stumbling block. You let this be a faith builder. Don't you let this famine turn you away. You let it point you to me. You let it bring you close. Don't you let an unpaid bill or something not going the way you want it to turn you away. Let it cause you to trust the Lord. Amen. Praise God, because that's what he's in the business of doing, is changing us and growing us and maturing us. And he has to use everyday things, just everyday stuff that we encounter in this life, to teach us these things. This morning, I want you to go with me into the Old Testament, to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2 is where we'll start reading at. Nehemiah chapter 2. Verse 17 is where we'll start reading it. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sambalah the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us, and said, what is this thing that you will do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will rise and build. But you have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. Let's stop there and pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we ask you to touch us this morning. I ask you for strength, physically, spiritually, for your anointing, Lord, upon my body, my soul, my spirit, these people here today, those watching through the internet, those who will watch, Lord, through YouTube, Facebook, website, wherever it is that they're watching. I pray, Lord, that you would stir people up, that you would rally people around, that you would reach out all over this world and begin to deal with people about your work. Amen. About what you want done in these last days and where they need to be and the part that they need to play in doing what you are calling them to do. Lord, I thank you this morning that you've given us all a task. You've given us all something to do for you. You've given this church a task to preach the gospel to everybody that will listen, to every person we can go to, whether through the internet, on foot, in our town, on the job. Lord, you've called us to build these walls up, Lord, and to stand on those walls with that trumpet of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to continue to preach it, to continue to warn people that judgment is coming, but safety is in the ark of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I ask this morning that you touch people today, touch me again, Lord. Amen. Help us this morning. Move through the internet, God. Stir people up. God, stir them up. Stir them so much that they cannot sit still. Stir them so much that they can no longer stay where they are, but that they would hear the voice of the Lord today and that they would move in faith. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm going to read a little background information about this book as I usually do. It's been a while since I preached on this, but the Lord has brought this back to me again over and over recently, so I feel like this is what the Lord wants me to minister on this morning. When Persia conquered Babylon and released the captive Jews, many of the Jews returned to Palestine. One of their first achievements, in spite of some early setbacks, was the reconstruction of the temple in Jerusalem. This was their command after the captivity: go back home and rebuild the city. The city of God, the city that has been destroyed because of your disobedience and your rebellion and your refusal to hear God's word and follow it, which has brought about God's judgment. God has allowed you to go into captivity, but now he is about to release you so you can go once again and begin to build the kingdom. The city wall remained in ruins, and only when Nehemiah came to Jerusalem as the governor in 445 BC was it rebuilt. This was more than 90 years after the first group of people had returned from captivity. I'm ringing up here a little bit. You might can turn that ringing off again for me. Nehemiah was a man of very forceful character who had the ability to motivate people. He was a great organizer and a leader, but more importantly, he was a man of prayer who trusted God. See, you can be a good organizer, and you need to be. You can be good at this or good at that, but if you don't pray, if you ain't a person of prayer, sir, ma'am, boy, girl, if you're not a person who prays about what God wants you to do, if you're not a person who prays about God's will for your life, things won't be put together the right way. He prayed about these things. He was a man who prayed. He trusted God. He feared God, and he obeyed the word of the Lord. He was fearless in dealing with opposition and opponents, yet sympathetic and self-sacrificing in helping the needy. Most of the book of Nehemiah seems to have come from the personal records that Nehemiah kept during his governorship of Jerusalem. The book is therefore largely in the first person. Nehemiah had two periods as a governor of Jerusalem, an earlier period lasting about 12 years and a later period of an unknown length. Nehemiah first became governor as a result of a visit to Persia by some Jews from Jerusalem. At that time, he held a trusted position in the Persian palace, and the Jews no doubt hoped that he would persuade the king to support them against the attacks of their opponents. Being a man of prayer, Nehemiah prayed about the matter for 4 months before asking the king for help. That's how we should operate our life. Before we just jump and do something, you should pray about it. Too many times, we don't want to wait for God. We just want to jump into something and say, okay, I got God's approval. He's just going to bless whatever I do. And God don't work like that. He's got a way of straightening messes out when we get ourselves into them. But you can save yourself a whole lot of mess if you just wait and pray and just not jump into something and find out if it's what God wants. And the king responded by giving him authority. He gave him materials and finance to go to Jerusalem to repair the city and to rebuild its walls. And it was probably at this time that he was appointed the governor. I'm going to go back over just a little bit of the
history of the earlier chapter of the book to try to set the stage for where I want to go this morning. As we've already read the history of this, Jerusalem was God's city, God's nation, God's people that he loved, and he still does today. Israel is God's nation, God's people. God still loves them. And, you know, you look at the enemies, even more so now, that are rising up against them, and really it's just end time prophecy taking place, but no enemy will ever be able to overcome those people because they are God's people and God is with them. Just like, listen, you and me, I ain't worried about my enemies because they can't overtake me because I'm God's child. No matter how many false accusers are out there, no matter how many oppose what God is trying to do, you're God's child. The devil can't stop you. You are the apple of his eye. He watches over you day and night, so you don't have to worry about enemies. The only enemies you got to worry about are the worst ones, the inward, the flesh. Can deal with the outward a lot easier than the inward. The inward has to be dealt with by the Holy Spirit. As Adam said this morning, without the Holy Spirit, nothing's going to get done. The Spirit of God's got to be doing the work in us. And the scripture says that Nehemiah, after the Jews began to come back from captivity, he wanted to know what the condition of the city was in. And he was asking some of the Jewish leaders, hey, what is going on? What does it look like there? And they come to him, they gave him a report, and they told him that the city walls, look, the walls have been torn down, the city has been burned with fire. It's just total destruction. And when they gave him this news, because he cared about the things of God, he began to go to the Lord and seek God about what he could do. Lord, is there anything I can do to play a part in rebuilding your kingdom? Is there anything, Lord, I can do to get a lost soul into the kingdom of God? Is there anything I can do to reach people that have been burned out by false religion? Is there anything I can do, Lord? Because the greatest tool of the devil today is false doctrine. It's torn the church to pieces. It has burnt God's people out. People are burnt out with religion. They're burnt out with programs. They're burnt out, and the devil has destroyed God's kingdom. And God is looking for somebody this morning in Family Worship Center and through the internet that says, Lord, I care about your people. I care about your kingdom. I care more about them than I do my position in a palace. I care more about them than my job. I care more about the work of God than I do everything else going on around me. Lord, would you use me to go and get your people where they need to be? Would you use me to tear the devil's kingdom down? Would you use me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Would you use me on my job? Some of y'all need to forget about the pulpit and make one on your job. Too worried about authority and position. And you're missing what God wants to do with you. It ain't about authority and position. It's about what God is calling us to do. This man, he cared about God's kingdom. He cared about the people. And he was willing to put his position and his neck on the line. He was a cupbearer in the king's presence. He was the one who bore the cup, carried the platter to give the king this wine. And the Bible tells us, I think Adam or somebody preached on that not long ago, and he was the one responsible for delivering it to the king so the king would see him periodically. And the Bible said that one day he was troubled. He'd been praying. He'd been asking God, Lord, what can I do to help your people? Can you get me out of this palace? Is there any way you can give me favor with the king? Is there any way that you could move and get me from here to where your people are to help rebuild what the devil has torn down? And the Bible said he went into the king's presence one day. And his said his countenance looked like it was of a sad countenance. And the king asked him, said, why are you sad? Why do you look so sad today, Nehemiah? And he didn't know what to say. You look kind of sad. You look kind of sick. And eventually, Nehemiah asked that king for favor. He revealed to him that, he revealed to the king what was really bothering him. It wasn't his bills. It wasn't his position. It wasn't his job. It wasn't his family. It was the kingdom of God. He saw, he heard the word about the destruction of God's kingdom. And he said, Lord, would you give me favor? God, would you give me favor in Athens, Tennessee? God, would you give me favor in Africa? God, would you give us favor to go and to be a part of rebuilding, because we don't have long. Time is running out. People need to be saved. Jesus Christ needs to be high and lifted up. It's time for somebody to get over yourself and start getting busy with the kingdom of God. Come on, somebody. It's time to forget about me and find out what God wants for my life. He went to the king and he asked for favor, and you know what? Surprise of surprises. God moved on the king to give him favor. And the king gave him favor and said, you know what? He said, how long do you think you'll be gone? I don't know if he told him the exact time or not, but he gave him a time frame. I believe he did. And he said, could you also... I don't want to stretch it too much, King, but if you're going to give us favor and you're going to give us the ability, would you also give us some letters of authority? Would you give me a letter? Would you put your signet on? Would you seal it for us or for the governors beyond the river? And so when we cross over, you know, they want to know what we're doing here. We got permission. See, when we go to get on an airplane to go to Africa, I got my permission right here. Sealed from the king. Come on. It's got Jesus' signature stamped all over it. Do you hear me today? And look, we don't need the permission of a denomination. I don't care what a Baptist church thinks. I don't care what Pentecostals think. I don't care what you reprobates think. I don't care what God haters think. I don't care what it. I got proof. I got authority. I got the power, because it comes from the Word of God, and this is what I stand on. If you don't like it, find you another church. We ain't ruled by no denomination here. Ain't ruled by religion. Ain't gonna be. I don't care what the Baptists think. I don't care what you Baptists think. Your religious, self-righteous spirit. Don't care about a move of God. Don't care about people. You don't care about people dying and go to hell. You don't care about witnessing nobody. You know, you can't even do it at church. Don't tell me you're doing it outside. Oh, God help me. God is looking for somebody who's interested in his work, who's interested in witnessing to people, giving a Bible to somebody, talking to somebody about their soul. And it's all around us. I mean, everybody in this church, you ought to have an opportunity to be doing it. Everybody. Everybody. God gives him favor. And not only does he give him favor, he gives him finances, he gives him authority, he gives him timber for the wood. And not only that, you know what else he gave him? He gave him protection. Boy, I tell you what, I got everything I need in Jesus this morning. I got favor, I got the finances, I got the protection, I got the power of God. Look, what do you have this morning? Everything you need is in Jesus. He is everything we need, church. He sends us, he equips us, he gives us power. And he gave him all these things to go because one man cared about what God wanted done. One man, one woman, one boy, one girl. Just one. Oh, if God can just get just one in a local area. One here, one there. Who's concerned about the kingdom. He gave them the authority and he said, the good hand of my God was upon me. That's all you need. The good hand of my God was upon me. I mean, God moved on the king. Can you believe that? God, you mean God can move on a president? You better know he can. You mean God can move on people that don't ain't even right where they need to be with him? You better know he can. God can move on anybody God wants to move on. And God gave that man favor with the king. And I'm believing that one more time, just one more time in America, God is going to raise up a leader and he's going to give us Christians, the church of the living God, favor, favor, favor in spite of false religion, in spite of Islam and every other damnable false religion that tries to come into this nation. God is going to raise somebody up to give us the freedom one more time to go all around this nation and preach the word. Are you paying attention? What do you see? Well, all I see is destruction. All I see is gloom, despair. All I see is die. We're going down. That's what doubt will do for you. That's what that old doubting spirit will do. Old pouting, doubting spirit. Hee-haw spirit. You got to see with the eyes of faith. Faith says God can. Faith says God will. Faith says I'm going to trust God no matter how bad it looks in our nation. No matter how much destruction the devil has done, and he's done a good job. But you know what? Jesus is in the rebuilding business. I got a God that's in the rebuilding business. He's in the business of rebuilding backsliders. He's in the business of rebuilding those bound by alcohol, those bound by drugs, bound by the devil. He's in the business of turning their life around. If we will get a hold of what God is moving on us to do and preach the gospel, witness it, tell people, then we will see God move. He said for a time he didn't tell everybody what the Lord had put in his heart to do. That's a wise man. Sometimes you got to keep some things quiet for a while. I had to learn that the hard way because there's spoilers out there. You know who the spoilers are, don't you? You know the ones like you've talked to before and you told them about the great things you feel like God wants to do with you and through you and in you, and you tell them about your faith and how good and God's going to do this or God's going to do that, and they sit there and look at you like, no response, no nothing. Nothing. They don't believe God. No, they don't, because faith responds to faith. Faith responds to faith. If I sit there and tell you about the miracle working power of God and look at you in the face and tell you about good things God's doing that he wants to do, and you just sit there and you look at me with a blank look in your face, you don't have no faith. You have no faith. Faith. Trust. Believe in God's word. Believe in what he said he's going to do. God said in the last days, he's going to pour his spirit out upon all flesh. We're there. I'm ready. Come on, Lord. Send us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord. Work in our church, Lord. Work in our families, Lord. Work on the job, Lord. Get a hold of those heathen. Get a hold of those backsliders, Lord. Move in us. Move through us. He said that the king gave him letters to go beyond the river, said he gave him captains of the army with horsemen, with men. He gave him protection too. He gave him more than he bargained for. And that's how God is. He always gives you more than what you're asking for. He always does it greater than what you're thinking. Whatever you're thinking right now that God is going to do, just in your own heart, in your mind, whatever you're thinking that God is going to do for you, through you, or in you, or maybe in your church, listen, it ain't going to happen. It's going to be bigger, and it's going to be different from what you're thinking. Because you don't have the mind of the Lord. You don't think like God. His thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. His ways are higher than our ways. But you trust him. You believe that he's going to do something. But he never does it to meet your expectations. He does it his way. And when he does, you don't come away saying, oh, I just wish he hadn't done that. I really, see, we're not like we are. Well, I don't like how he did that. That's not the way I would do it. That's our problem. How we do it. When God says, I'm the one who's going to do it. Now, you're going to let me? Are you going to get out of the way? Are you going to trust me? Are you going to surrender? If you do, I'll give permission for you. I'll give you authority. I'll give you power. I'll give you everything you need for this Christian life so that you can be an effective witness in my kingdom. Now listen, whenever he went out, the Bible said, and he began to seek after, to find out, to see for himself all the damage and to go find out what all needs to be done, here's what happens. The Bible said the enemy showed up. Just like every time God calls you to do something, enemies show up. In here and out here. Enemies in your family. Enemies of your flesh. Enemies of Satan. Demon spirits. They come and they try to stop you. They try to hinder you. Said when they heard about it, it said it grieved them exceedingly. You know what grieves the devil? Hold on. The devil ain't grieved because all of y'all are sitting on a pew this morning. No, he ain't. He ain't one bit grieved that you're sitting right there in that seat. Nope. He's grieved when you get up off of your do-nothing by faith and you start talking this gospel. He's grieved when you start putting your faith into action. He's grieved when you start going to the lost. He's grieved when you go to the homeless. He's grieved when you do that live stream. He's grieved when you start stepping out to do the work of God. That's what grieves the devil. And when you do, then comes opposition. But that's to be expected. It grieves him. And you know, it grieves, as it grieved these enemies, it grieved Satan that a man, a woman, a boy or a girl has been raised up to seek the welfare of the children of God. Church, this ain't just about us in here this morning. I'm going to say it again, and I hope the Lord help me say it the right way. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of the same old, same old. I love you. Come to church. I love y'all. I do. But I want to see you bring somebody with you. I want to see a lost soul come in. I want to see somebody messed up. I want to see somebody with tattoos on. I want to see somebody that the devil has beat down, burnt out, just about destroyed. Come on, y'all. Are we going to seek the welfare of the children of God? Are we after the things of the kingdom? I don't want the same old anymore. God, interrupt our program. God, interrupt that seat I sit in. God, interrupt our church. God, interrupt my life. God, do whatever you gotta do to get us on fire. God, turn this church upside down. Rearrange it. God, send people to help us. God, move on people. Help me, Lord. I'm sick of the same old sitting on a pew eye rollers. I'm sick of the same old sitting on a pew just sitting around looking at what everybody else is doing. I'm sick of it. And if I'm sick of it, I wonder if he's sick of it. I'm sick of people sitting on a church pew eyeballing people like they could cut them with a knife. I'm sick of people. Come on. Can't even get into a worship service because you two sitting there thinking about what somebody's singing or somebody else is doing and you can't get your mind off of it. Get your mind on Jesus. Get your eyes on yourself because you got enough sin on your own plate. Do you hear me today? Get your eyes on the Lord, and when you do, praise God, you will be effective in the kingdom of God, and you ain't going to have no time to sit around and stare at everybody else. You ain't going to have no time to sit around with your thumb finger talking about this one and talking about that one. Praise God, you're going to say, oh Lord, I'm a man, I'm a woman of unclean lips. Lord, I need coals put on my mouth today. I need my heart washed in the blood. Lord, help me not to judge anybody. Lord, help me to come through these doors, and help me, Lord, to be somebody that'll let you work in my life. I don't want to be the same old. I don't want to sit in the same old seat. I don't want to cross my arms and do the same old thing every time. Lord, touch me. Challenging message. Let's challenge God's people. You got to get tired of the same old. And as a pastor, I'm telling you, I get sick of it sometimes. And I love everybody here. I want you to come back tonight. We're having church. But don't come sit around staring at everybody. Come on, y'all. Come with your mind on Jesus. Don't come thinking about what somebody in church is doing. Come with your mind on Jesus. How are you going to help the person that's failed if all you're going to do is sit and look at them? How are you going to put your arms around the person that the devil has destroyed, that he's about to wipe out? How are you going to help them if you sit in a seat while they're down at an altar with tears coming out of their eyes and they don't know what to do and they're struggling, and we in the church just want to sit around and look at people? God, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. I didn't plan all this morning. It's coming. I'm sick of it. You know, Jesus got sick of religion. He got so sick of it that he formed a whip. He got so sick of it that he started knocking their stuff over. God knocked some stuff over up in this church. God knocked some stuff over in our hearts. God, turn our tables over. Lord, get our motives right. Lord, get us busy about what this is all about. He told them thieves, you turned my house into a den of thieves. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. It's supposed to be a house where I can move. And remember when he drove all the corruptible people out of the house? Do you remember two things happened? The little children, they came, they were crying. The Spirit of God was moving on them, and it said the blind and the lame, they come in there, praise God, and they got healed. God, give us some blind and give us some lame. Give us some people people that are bound by the devil, that are sick of their sin, and that are ready to come to Jesus. And when you are, praise God, we're going to take you to him. Satan comes. I hate the devil. I get mad at the devil. I see what the devil does. It bothers me. And you know what? He does it too many times with people who ought to know better. Christians. Hindrances. Opposition. Who ought to know better. You know, I want to say something. I'm just going to tell you something I noticed. We went to camp meeting. We were gone for a week, I guess, 4 or 5 days. We missed a couple services here. I don't really like to do that, but we did it. I said, they'll be okay. They ought to be. But I noticed when we got back from camp meeting, the next church service we had, a couple of y'all looked like you just lost it. You just went way downhill. Your spiritual condition, I could see it. You were not what you were a month ago. After just a few services, you're down. You know what that tells me? It tells me that you might be putting too much trust in us. Or the fact that you come to this church. Listen, you should not lose anything when we're not in this church. You shouldn't lose anything when we get on a plane and go to Africa. You should, because what you have is established in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But if it's not, that's how you lose it. We're trying to build the kingdom here. We want children of God who, if we left for a month, if I left for a month and come back a month later and missed every single service, would I still see joy? Would I still see victory? Would people still be preaching the truth of the gospel? Would the church still be run the way that we run it while we're here? It don't take long for people to just get out of the way. But the truth is, we don't have to. We don't have to. You don't have to lose what you have. If it's in Jesus Christ, you ain't going to lose it. And if your favorite preacher or your favorite person ain't at church, you ain't going to lose anything, because Jesus is still living inside of you. Y'all had some powerful service when we were going to camp. I mean, that message Sunday morning, brother, I could feel the power of God. I could feel the weight on you. Nobody who knew what God was going to do. You didn't know who was going to pop up through the door. We didn't even know. But look what God was doing. I know the Lord put that on you, Adam. You could feel that weeping spirit. God was touching you. And I know you face trouble when God puts stuff like that on you. When you preach like that, brother, I know what it feels like, because I've been doing it for years. But I'm going to tell you something. When God does that, it's because he's wanting to do something in somebody. You don't know what he's going to do. But praise God, it's worth it. It's worth the opposition. It's worth people lying on me. It's worth people talking about me. Just to see one more soul get restored. One more person come to Jesus. It's worth it for your kids to act up. Come on, we don't like it, but it's worth it. The opposition is normal. Anytime you step out and you do what God's called you to do, and there's a weight on you and there's pressure, there's going to be opposition. The devil is going to show up. He's grieved that you're coming to lift up Jesus. He's grieved that you're a part of those people that have turned the world upside down. He is grieved that you're some of those folks that have been to the upper room. He's grieved that there's some of y'all that believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. He's grieved. He's grieved. And a few others, he ain't grieved at all. Because you're no threat to him. I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you the truth. You're no threat to him. because you're comfortable with your religion. You're comfortable with no change. You're comfortable with staying just like you are. I'm not. I want God to do something. There's enough darkness in this world. There's enough opposition. There's hell broke loose on this earth. Can't you see it? Can't you feel it? And yes, God is still in control, but God still wants to move in the midst of it. He wants to do something. Don't get caught up with the bad news. He said he rose up in the night and said, let's go. A few of his men he took with him, let's go and let's view the land. I want to go see the landscape. I want to see for myself what's going on. And he did. He took some men with him and he went out and he looked at it. He looked everything over. He looked, took priests with him. He took nobles and rulers. And the Bible said that when he saw it, he said to them, do you see the distress that we are in? Does anybody see the distress that the church is in? Mostly because of false doctrine. False doctrine destroys God's people. Listen, your Bible translation, it better be right. You better be reading a word-for-word Bible translation. I counted on my phone app last week. There are 70-something different so-called Bible translations. And you think they're all right? There's only a handful of them that are actually decent. And here's my thinking. The King James is the best. It's the closest to the original. So here's my thinking. Why does any Christian even want to play or jeopardize? Why do you even want to go there? Why do you even want to have, why do you want to read, study from other translations that are off the wall if you have something that is real, that's as close to the real as you're going to get? Why? And more than that, we have expositor study Bibles. That's the greatest Bible in the world. Yeah, I said that. The greatest Bible in the world. I've been reading it ever since it debuted. And I've learned so much from reading it. All the things I used to, when I read the Bible, but when I first got saved and I didn't have this Bible, and reading, you know, the red words of Jesus and things and not whatnot, and words in the Bible, and I think, what does that mean? I don't understand that. You know, what does this mean and all this? Well, when I got an expositor study Bible, well, what do you know? There's explanation to help me to understand it. That ain't changing the words of the Bible. It's helping. I don't worship it. I don't make a god out of it. I love Brother Swaggart. I agree with most everything he writes in there. But there's a few things here and there that my thoughts don't go along with his own. Whoa. Shock some of you. But it's a good Bible. It'll help you. You can learn from it. So why are you as a Christian, you got, some of y'all got one sitting at home on your table, but you don't even read it. It's help. It explains things in a way that help us to understand, because Brother Swagger is a down-to-earth preacher who wrote it in a way that everybody can understand it. I like that kind, because I ain't very smart. I need help. He said, you see the distress that we're in. Jerusalem lies waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Do you see it? And then he said this, come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach. Three things he said. The remnant that are left are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. And the city, the gates of the city, they are burned with fire. Today, the church, folks, is in the same condition. And we need people that are, look, you young people, God help me, you young people in this church. The devil fights you, I know that. Parents expect it. Your children, your teenagers, they're going to be fought. If God is using them, God wants to use them, they're going to be fought. That little 9-month-old baby back there has already been fought. He ain't had to fight anything, but he's had to have people stand up and fight for him. Because the devil wants your children. The devil don't want your children raised up in the house of God. The devil don't want your children knowing Jesus. He don't want your children. Look, these are the generations that are coming. If we're here 15 years from now, 20 years from now, I hope we ain't, but if we are, and we could be, where will your children be? What will they be doing? I'd love to see some of these raised up in this church get up here behind this pulpit and open a Bible up and tear the devil's kingdom down. I'd love for people to call the phone here and say, hey, Pastor, you know that young person you got in your church? You think you could have them come to our church sometime and preach for us? You know, we'd like to hear the word of God. I'd love to see God's people used. The ones he's laid his hand on and anointed. Not just everybody, but these kids. Devil's fighting for y'all, you young people. He's fighting for you young adults. There's a generation out there perishing in your age group. They're messed up. They're confused. They don't know if they're a boy, don't know if they're a girl. Their bodies are marked up. Their faces are marked up. Everything's got piercings in it. They're all messed up, and I'm not condemning people for that. They're lost. That's their way of trying to get attention. I understand that. That's what they do. They want attention. But I'm going to tell you something. If you come to Jesus, you get all the attention you need. I said, when you come to Jesus, you'll get all the attention you need. And you won't have to poke something in your face. You won't have to mark up your body. You won't have to color your hair. Praise God. You'll be content with knowing him. And you'll be happy with what he has made you to be. Come on, somebody. You won't be confused about whether or not you're male or female. Email. Praise God, this world is dying. We need young people, listen, right here, that are concerned about the kingdom of God right now. Listen, we need young people that said, Lord, I'm going to answer your call. You two boys right there, I don't know y'all, but I'm going to tell you this, son. God wants to use y'all. The devil, don't you let the devil have his way. You let the Lord have his way. You ain't here by accident, boys. God has a will for your life. Don't choose your own career. Don't choose your own path. Get on your knees, son, and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I'm going to tell you, when he starts stirring something in your heart, he starts showing you something from the Bible, it'll make you happy. It'll stir your soul up, and you'll say, oh, Lord, help me to do what you're calling me to do. I'd give anything. If I could go back at 17 or 18 years old, I was running with the devil, living like the devil, acting like the devil. But if I had given my heart to Jesus at 18 or 17, my Lord, I mean, all that energy, all that fire, what could we do? All that rebellion, all that wanting to fight and anger and hostility, God could turn it all around and use it for good. And he's doing it now. It just took me a little longer. Had to butt my head against the wall till I hit 30 years old and run and fight and escape. Some of y'all are trying to escape God's will. The devil's trying to make you think it'll make you miserable. He's a liar. No, it won't make you miserable. It'll make you happy. You'll be happy to play. You'll be happy to sing. you'll be happy to preach. Oh, it gets a little tough sometimes. The battle ain't with the walk, it's with the work. The victory over sin has been dealt with. Jesus has broken it. I don't battle every day with sin. The battle is with the work. It's that Satan fights. But God has called people. He's called people watching through that camera. He's called some of you to get up from where you are and leave and come here. But you're still evading it. You're still avoiding it. You're running. Not in the right direction. Nehemiah saw what was going on. He went out, and you know what he did? He put out a call. I'm putting out a call this morning. He put out a call. You all see the city? You see our town? You see the nation? You see the lost? Come and let's build the kingdom of God. Come and let's preach the gospel. Come and let's sing. Come and let's pray. Come and let's do the work of God. No, not everybody's going to do the same thing. But everybody has a place on the wall. You know what the problem with too many is, though, in the church? Nehemiah, he organized these people with God's help in such a way that these people, they started coming from every direction. Boy, oh, just wait. Oh, just wait. They recognized that their nation was destroyed. The city was burned with fire. The gates are burnt down. They have nowhere to go. They're oppressed of the devil. They don't know what to do. And here they hear this man. They hear this little man preaching from Athens, Tennessee, and they're burned out and they're burned up and they're tore up by the devil. And he says something like, hey, why don't you leave where you are and come and help with the work of God? Why don't you come be a part of what Jesus is doing here? And let's build the kingdom together. And the Holy Spirit starts moving, stirring. He says, okay, you go, you go, you go. You get on this part of the wall. You get on this part of the wall. You take that part of the wall. You take that part of the wall. All of you, get on the wall and get to work. But here's our problem in the church. We all don't like to be on the same wall on equal ground. We got those who just want to sit back and look at some of the others on the wall. And talk about their position. And how they should have a greater position than that one on the wall. They should be elevated higher because, you know, I've been here longer. I never left church. You mean you want him on the wall beside me? He left church how many times? And you want me to work beside him? Yeah. Exactly. You want me to work beside people that have failed? Yeah, because you failed. Only difference is everybody don't know about it. God knows about it. You and me, you want me to work with, all of us rejects, come work together. All of us burnt stones, let's work together. All of us that have been beaten by the devil, let's come work together. All of us that have faced opposition, let's work together. You see, God is going to bring people and put them on a wall beside you. You better be ready to work with them. You better be ready to preach with them. You better be ready to sing with them. You better be ready to minister with them. Because there ain't no room in God's church for self-righteous hypocrites who think that they're better than the one who's done wrong and they know they did wrong. Only difference is, you did wrong. The whole church just don't know about it. And if they did, I wonder if you'd be sitting in your seat. Just a thought. It's easy to overcome failure when nobody knows about it. But it's a whole lot harder when everybody sees it. Peter experienced it. But you know what Peter did? He went out and wept and asked God to forgive him and repented of his selfishness and of his boastfulness and his self-confidence, because that's all his problem was, same as us. Trust in self. And Jesus said, no, Peter, I'm going to have to break you more than once, more than twice. You're going to have to be broken over and over and over to come to the end of yourself. And Jesus restored him. And what did Peter do when he came back after that horrible incident of denying Jesus Christ three times and telling people, I don't know him. And stood up on the day of Pentecost, filled with the Holy Ghost, Adam, power. And said, hold on, I got something to tell y'all. Ain't nobody here been drinking no Budweiser this morning. This is that, praise God. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. They ain't drunk like you suppose. This is that. And he preached with power, and 3,000 people got saved. Come on, somebody. God can use the failure and the flunky to win more than the self-righteous. He will. The ones you put down, but watch it. God can raise up and use them, restore them. We just want to put people out too quick. Out. He did it again. Did you do that to your kids? Parents? I don't think so. You kick them out every time they mess up? I don't think so. You whip their hind end a time or two? Oh, yeah. But you ain't throwing them out of the house. Get out. I don't ever want you to come back into my house again. Do you think God would do that to his child? He don't operate. No, that's a self-righteous spirit. It's got to be broken. If we're going to see the kingdom of God built, we got to let God break us. Once and for all. The flesh has got to be broken. It's got to die, as Brother Swaggart says over and over. All hope of the flesh has got to die. I woke up this morning coughing and hacking this bunch of green garbage and this pollen stuff, and gosh, I felt awful. And I woke up at 5 o'clock last night. I told us, I'm sleeping in the morning. I'm going to sleep in late. 5 o'clock was late. And I laid there tossing, and I woke up. And once I raised up, here it come. I had to get up and start coughing it up and putting it out. I said, Lord, praise the Lord God, I'm going to church. And my voice ain't all there. It was until I got it all out, squirted stuff up my nose. I went through the drive-thru. Can we take your order? I said, give me some hot cakes and sausage. Got me some food, come down here, ate, blew my nose out a few times, sit there and laid in that chair, said, God, help me today. Lord, I just need help. I know you called me to preach. I know I got your anointing, Lord, and I know you got a word for these people, God. Now you're going to have to give me my voice, and you're going to have to give me the strength to stand up here and preach. And I'm here to tell you today, that stuff will weaken your body, but the power of God will enable your spirit. I might be half dead by the time I walk out of here. But I'll be back tonight. I'll make it by the grace of God. I ain't preaching. She is. I ain't worried about it. She started hacking the other day. And she said, my voice is about gone. I said, well, you better be praying for it to come back, because you'll be doing sign language Sunday night when you're up there preaching. And she don't know sign language. It came back, trust me. She was talking real good yesterday. I know, I got proof. We went to Lowe's, we went to eat, and everybody was talking just fine. She's all over me about fixing the bathtub. Bathtub drain stopped up. You think you fixed that? You need to change that drain? And I thought, oh, Lord, I don't want to crawl under this. I don't want to crawl under no house, Lord. I'm tired of crawling on my knees, God. I don't want to crawl under that house. That thing's got concrete under there hurting my knees. And, Lord, can you help me somehow maybe to get out of this or something? We go to Lowe's and we start asking. She started asking the man about, you know, what part we need for another drain. And I'm thinking, we need to get the same kind we got. Then I'll have to crawl underneath to change it. We can, you know, take that and out, put another in. And she was talking with him and said, well, what about this drain? What about this drain? This problem we got. He said, you got one of the push-stop drains right now? She said, yeah. He said, well, you just need to replace it with another one like that. And I said, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, talk. I said, you're going to talk to him. Y'all figure it out. And he kept suggesting, that's the one you need. I said, thank you, Lord. Well, I went home. I unscrewed the old one and looked in the drain, and guess what was in the drain? It wasn't Thomas Clymer's hair. You know that. A big old wad of black hair with a little hint of silver in it. Big wad. I pulled that stuff out. So this is the problem. It had nothing to do with me to begin with. Thank you, Lord, I didn't have to crawl under that house. And I got a new drain and screwed it in and pushed the button and bam, it works just fine and it drains just fine. I said, thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, sister. Make it easy on me. And she's happy and we're all happy. So she's preaching tonight. So come back to church. But the Lord moved for Nehemiah. He gave him favor. He sent him to do the work. And we know here comes the enemies. It happened over and over. You read through the chapters, the later chapters. I mean, every time they make progress, here comes the enemies. This is how it is with us. Every time we get a little bit further, here comes enemies. We step out to do this, here comes enemies. We start witnessing somebody, here comes enemies. That's the way it is, church. But God has given us the victory over the enemy. It said, I'm going to read one verse and I'm done. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. He said, there came a time I told everybody, I made it public. The hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build. And look, so they strengthened their hands for this good work. Now, I'm going to say something in closing. Because I've been pondering this and thinking about, Lord, you're going to have to really move me if you want me to say it. Because otherwise, I'm not saying it. That building out back, I'm going to tell you, this relates to that. I know what God has put in our heart to do. I kept this in my heart for a while. I didn't say anything about this to anybody. And the Lord continued to impress upon me, confirm to me, to do what he's telling us to do about building that building. I don't know how we're going to do it. It ain't my business to figure it out. But I know this. God gave everything those people needed to do that work. God provided it. You in here, God has given you the means. Look, financially, some of you. A way to be able to help to give to build that building. People through that internet. One person with $100,000, $50,000 to lay down and say, here, use this to help with your building. Could help get everything graded, get a foundation laid, and maybe even start getting a structure up. It's going to take some money. And you know what? By the time we get it built, it may be double or triple the price. I don't know. I ain't even putting no price on it. Unless we get a change in the government and somebody's got some sense that can bring stuff down. And we do have somebody. You need to pray and you need to vote right. You better pray and you better vote right come November. Somebody said, if people get this next election wrong, bye-bye, America. America ain't going to be the America you once knew. It ain't going to be. I'm not saying totally wiped out, we're destroyed. No, we're God's children. We're going to be taken care of. But this nation, it's going to be bad, church. People, you better just settle for some little mean tweets and some language you don't like for somebody who actually cares about this nation and ain't asleep at the wheel. That's all I'm going to say. But God wants to give us favor. No matter who's in power, God wants us to build. And we need people to help. Look, not just to build a structure. We need people to give for that. But listen, some of you through the internet are watching. God's giving you a gift. You think she likes just sitting there playing by herself all the time? She's an excellent piano player. She can play better than... I'm going to put her up there with some of the top-notch ones. She can play better than Brother Swagger can in my book. She's just as good for her age. She's only 55. And she don't complain about it. I'll never see her come in here and say, "Well, Thomas, I don't want to play this morning." And I know she has problems at times. I mean, your hands are how old? I mean, 80-something? I'm sure they don't function like they used to, but they function real good across them keys. And the Holy Spirit helps her. But look, we need more people. I'd rather have somebody sitting over there playing them than me, because I don't play good. And I'm offbeat sometimes. I don't hear good. I need to get me another hearing aid. Don't wear it in here, though. I'd like to see some of these young people raised up. Hey, young people, throwing your bone out. If you're interested, if you have a desire, if you feel like God's giving you the ability and you really want to learn, you can learn. The Lord can teach you. Play instrument, keyboard, piano, drums, guitar, tambourine. We can use that stuff, church. Look, preachers, more preachers who understand the gospel, not just any preacher, who understand the gospel, who will preach Jesus Christ and point the people to the Word of God. That's what we need. God wants to send people. God wants to bring people. You're a part of it. So if the Lord is dealing with you in this church about doing something, you know what my suggestion would be to you? Step up and do it. Don't worry about the enemies. Don't worry about the devil. Don't worry about the opposition. That's coming. You trust the Lord and you watch what God will do. You watch what God... All it takes sometimes is just one person in a church, one, that God's dealing with about doing something, just to step up and step out and watch a fire ignite in the congregation. Watch the Lord begin to touch, move on other people. And look, the service will change. The atmosphere will change. People's attitudes will change, because it's a humbling thing sometimes to see God use somebody that you never expected He'd use. But He will. Stand to your feet. Miss Grace, would you come? Listen, here's how we're going to do this. If the Lord is dealing with you about helping, in whatever area, it ain't my business, I don't care, then you today, this is for you. This altar call is for you. Lord, send me. Lord, use me. Lord, help me to do what you're calling me to do in the church, on the job, in the world. Lord, send me. Lord, I'm coming. People through the internet, the Bible said they came. and the Lord strengthened their hands for the good work. Look, you step out by faith and the Holy Ghost will strengthen you for the good work. So if you're here this morning and you want to step out, you want to come to this altar, you're asking the Lord to help you, to strengthen you, to use you. This is for you, church. If you don't have no interest in the kingdom of God and you don't care about lost souls, stay in your seat. If it's just going to be all about you, stay in your seat. But if there's anybody here who cares about lost souls, if there's anybody here that says, you know what, Pastor Thomas, I need a new desire for people. I need a new love to see people saved. I need a new desire for God to use me in what He's using me to do. I need the Lord to stir me up. If that's you, come and say, Lord, help me today. Maybe you're a preacher watching through the internet. God's giving you the ability to do it, but there's not a door. The door's not there because you're not creating the door. You're not walking through the doors. You're not taking advantage of the opportunities. You're not where God wants you to be. You're going to have to let God rectify that right now. Let's take a step of faith. As Nehemiah called, said, come and let us build up the walls. They came. So I'm asking you today, are you going to come? Watching through the internet, are you coming? Do you care about the things of God? Does Jesus Christ mean more to you than anything else? Does love for lost souls compel you to do what you do for the Lord? God, give us a new desire. Lord, burn a new desire in every person in this place today. Every person that has stepped out by faith today, Lord, I pray that you touch them. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus through that internet, God, that you deal with people, Lord. Lord, I pray in the glory of God, in the name of Jesus. These young people, Lord, you young people need to let the Holy Ghost stir you. Some of you young people need to be in this altar up here seeking God. You need to be coming and saying, Lord, guide me, help me, lead me, Lord, push me, help me get in the right direction, Lord. Don't let me get out of your will, Lord. Help me to seek after the things of God. Help me to be concerned about the people of my generation. Help me, Lord, to push forward, God, to be used of you. Help me to be a Nehemiah, Lord. Help me to be somebody that's concerned about the children of God, concerned about the kingdom of God, who cares about lost souls being saved. Lord, help me today. Lead me, Lord, and I'll follow. Lead me, Lord. The Lord's going to make a way for you. I know the Lord will make a way for me. And if I live a holy life and shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me. Sing it, church. I know the Lord has laid His hand on me. I know the Lord has laid His hand on me. Has laid His hand on me. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word today. Thank you that it's powerful. It's motivating. Lord, your spirit is what we need. Amen. Lord, I pray that your spirit, Lord, would stir us, every one of us. Stir us, Lord, to be about our Father's business. Lord, guide us, lead us. in everything that you called us to do. Lord, we trust you for everything that needs to be done in this ministry. Lord, we believe in that you're going to raise up the people to help. You're going to send people, God, who understand the vision and understand the condition of this world that we're living in. Lord, we know that we're in the last days. We know time is drawing near. And more than ever now, we need to be about our Father's business. Lord, we thank you for your word today. I ask you to go with us as we leave. Bring us back together this evening safely in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Come back this evening.
We hope you were blessed by the live service from Family Worship Center in Athens, Tennessee. Our weekly services are Sunday at 10:30 a.m., Sunday at 5:30 p.m., and Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Watch us live online at www.fwc-tn.com. You can also check us out on Facebook or YouTube. Family Worship Center is located at 250 County Road 378 in Athens, Tennessee. Send all correspondence to Family Worship Center, P.O. Box 118, Athens, Tennessee 37303. For more information, you can call the church at 423-744-0774.